we began discussing this in Parsha Kedoshim, leave of those sita nifshal, that a person is not allowed to place a stumbling block in the presence of others, the sugya of Adazara Dafav, that means a person cannot facilitate a maisa aver. One of the cases we discussed was from Parsha Semar, the sugya Yevamos Sandat, Pei Dalet and Beis, where the Gemara mentions when it comes to the Surei Kehuna, the Torah goes out of its way and tells us, V'loshen Rabim lo yikafu, lo yikafu. One perhaps would think that the Isser is only incumbent upon the Kohen. The Kohen has the Tosefes Kedusha. Obviously, in order to have Isser Ebiya, there has to be a woman involved as well, but maybe her role is clearly secondary, because the Isser is the Kedusha HaKohen. So the Gemara tells us the Kiddush that know that Echadlo Vechadla, Ha'isha Mitzuvah Ayyidei Ha'ish, that both will violate this Isser of Kohuna. That was an important Kiddush. We had that in the Tosus, where Tosus discusses, does that mean that should be called a lav hashava b'kol, a lav she'eno shava b'kol? Because even Yisuri Kehuna, when it comes to Yisuri Bia, it can apply to the woman herself. And therefore, if an amana marries a Kohen Gadol, so recognize that Yisur is not only for the Kohen Gadol, it's also for the amana. So Tosus raises again that issue, what exactly is the Hagdara? And the Ramban is bothered here in Yivamos, Nefidamu Abeis, that why exactly is it necessary to have a pasuk? What's wrong with Lifnei Iver? Obviously, that was a simas mikshal, the willingness of the woman to engage in Yisurei Bia. So therefore, that is what causes the Kohen Gadol, to be machshir. So in such a case, isn't that sufficient? Why do you need a Gzeiras HaKasu? Isn't it covered by Lifnei Iver? So one Teretz Ramban writes is very, very simple. What would the onish be? What would the onish be? The Rambam is Mufurish in Sefer Mitzvos and Klal Tes that there's no malchus on Lifnei Iver. There's no malchus Lifnei Iver. Why not? The Rambam writes, this is a classic example of what we call a lav shebecholos. A lav shebecholos. The sugin sanedet av samad gimel amad aleph. The Gemara quotes the pasuk of losochel al hadam. And there are many, many isurim that we derive from losochel al hadam. Gemara tells us, you do a maisa shita. Shita results in heter achila. No, not if the animal is mefercheses. If the animal still is showing signs of life, in such a case, there's still nisra achila. What happens, for example, when it comes to a karban, I'm not allowed to partake of the besar ha-karban before zrikas adam, losochel ha-adam. Very, very different. Ooh, the Sanhedrin, Rachman l'slan, someone is chayiv misa, he's about to be put to death. In such a case, the Sanhedrin is not allowed to eat on that day, because losochel al-adam, the Gemara even has in brachos and daf yud, achila before davening. Achila before davening, wow. The Gemara says that's an Isra, lo sochlo, al adam, you get up, you know, you have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to take care of your own needs first. Lachar shehizga zeh. After you're satisfied, then you reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an Isra, lo sochlo, adam. It's fascinating. When the Rambam lists the lav shebechlelos, say for Mitzvah Shorosh Tes, the Rambam includes eating before davening. You know, Pashur Shat, you know what that means? Anissa daraisa. Anissa daraisa. Wow. There's no malchus because it's a lav shebechlelos, a lav shebechlelos. Oh, so one of the examples that Rambam writes of a lav shebechlelos is exactly the case of Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver. You have a single Isser and you have multiple Isserim. So if that really is the case, in such an instance, that's called lav shebechlelos, ein lo kelo. So Rambam writes the following. That's the answer. Why do you need a pasuk to tell you, lo yikachu, echadlo, echadla? If it was just Lifnei Iver, that could be Nisa Daraisa. But you know what? She would not get Malkus. The answer is she gets Malkus. She gets Malkus. Imagine, oh, Grusha marries a Kohen. The Grusha gets Malkus as well. That you only know based on Gzeiras HaKasu. That's not just simply based on the concept of Lifnei Iver L'Sita Nichshol. And then the Ramban writes, where we left off, something which is stunning, stunning. Now, is it so obvious that a woman would be obligated in the Lifnei Iver of Yisurei Kehuna if she's not included in Yisurei Kehuna? Wow. You know, if I have an Issa, I have an Issa. You know what that means? I cannot perform the Aveira and I cannot facilitate the Aveira. That's clear. But if I'm exempt from an Aveira, am I obligated in the Lifnei Iver of that Aveira? So Ramban writes a stunning Kiddush. You know what the answer is? No. If you're not obligated in an Aveira, you're not obligated in the Lifnei Iver of that Aveira. Wow. So if I didn't have the Pasuk of Lo Yikachu, I would have said the sister only applies to the Kohen. It doesn't apply to her, meaning that the Avera doesn't apply to her, and the Lifnei either of the Avera does not apply to her. That's something which is stunning, no? Wow. In other words, Lifnei either really is a broadening, it's an expansion of the Isser itself, and the starting point is you have to be Chayiv, Boso HaMitzvah, Boso HaAvera. If you're Chayiv in this Avera, so therefore, you're chayiv and expand Lifnei Iver as well. You have a hand in that Aveira. So I would have said that if there isn't a pasuk, there isn't even Lifnei Iver on behalf of the woman. Maybe there's an Isser Drabana of Misayeya, okay. But not the technical Lifnei Iver Losita Mirsha. That's a very stunning Kiddush. Now the Ramban writes that Lifnei Iver is an expansion of the Isser at hand. And only if you're obligated in the Aveir, you're obligated if neither of the Aveir. And we realize what a chiddush indeed that is. This is known, Rabbi Kveger quotes this, in the Chiddush Rimsachim, the Chav Beis, Rabbi Kveger quotes this in the name of the Emuna Shmuel. And Emuna Shmuel, it's in Siman Yadalit. Rabbi Emuna Shmuel writes explicitly, if you're an exempt from an Aveir, you're not going to be chayiv and lifnei either of that Aveir itself. Wow. As opposed to arguing that, what do you mean? That you caused a mechshav. And this Lifnei Iver is just simply causing a mishal, regardless of whether you're obligating that mishal. It's not from the perspective of the machshil, it's from the perspective of the nichshal, the one who stumbles. Whether you're obligated or not, that really is not fully relevant. Well, the Emunah Shmuel writes this, we mentioned last week, now, Tur Yerodeh Simon Samach Beis writes the following Yiddish, the Isra of Avram and Achai does not apply to a behemoth tamei. And the Emunah Shmuel is bothered. What exactly does that mean? This sort of Eva Menachai doesn't apply to... You're allowed to eat it. Of course you're not allowed to eat it, no? If you're Jewish, you can't eat it because you're not allowed to eat a behemoth tamei. And if you're non-Jewish, where you can eat a behemoth tamei, of course there's an Isra of Eva Menachai. So what does it mean to say that there's no Isra of Eva Menachai when it comes to a behemoth tamei? Lamay naf gamina. It's off limits to a Jew, and it's off limits to a guy. It's off limits to a Jew because it's a behemoth tamei. So you're going to say, okay, there's no additional Isra of Eva Menachai, fine, but there's Nisra behemoth tamei. So the Emunah Shmuel writes the following Chiddush, the Nafgamina is a Yisrael who's Moshit Eva Menachai to a Goy. In other words, that's the case in Avodah Zarah, Davov. A Jew who provides Eva Menachai to a Goy. You know what the answer is? It has to be a behemoth Torah, not a behemoth tamei. Why? A Goy is not allowed to eat a behemoth tamei. The answer is, since Lagabe the Yisrael, there's no Isra of Eva Menachai on this because it's Eva Tameya. There's no Isra of Lifnei Iver unless you start with the Avera itself. Wow, that's the Chiddush that the Emunah Shmuel writes. And the reason that's so stunning is because, what do you mean? Who cares about me? If I'm being machshul you, the question is an Avera for you, not as an Avera for me, but that's the Chiddush. That's Mufurish and Ramban. That's that one day in the Ramban, Yivam HaSandav, Peidal Nabeis. Immediately in that Simen, Yerodeh, and Simen Samach Beis, Prichadash, right? That's not true. After all, if he's Chayiv, you can't provide, regardless of whether you're Chayiv or whether you're not Chayiv. That's a Shita also of a Tosus, of a Messiah, and a Yivam Nabeis. Tosus is clear, you don't need a Bar Chayiv for Leif Neivin. The Gemara has a fascinating sugya. When do you say, when do you not say, Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira? Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. We normally assume, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. No? But what happens if the Shliach is not obligated? Obligated. What happens if the Shliach is not obligated at all? What's the case? The Gemara has the case. No. Here, Parshas Emor. Kohen Sh'amar Li Yisrael. A Kohen who goes ahead and says to Yisrael, you know what? Save a Kadesh Li Isha Grusha Zu. You know what? Go ahead and marry this grusha for me. You be the shliach. Go ahead and marry the grusha for me. Oh, so what's the halach in such a case? Well, what would you say? What do you mean? How can that possibly be? Ein shliach ledvar aveira. Ein shliach ledvar aveira. The Yisrael is not admonished not to marry a grusha. He's not a bar chiyuva. Wow. So Ravina writes the following chiddush that the only time you say ein shliach ledvar aveira is when you're a bar chiyuva. Because you know what? If you're a Baruch Yuva, you're listening to me. Well, what's the reasoning the Gemara says? One possibility. Divrei Harav, Divrei Atam, Divrei Meishomim. What are you listening to me for? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no, you're listening to me. What happens if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say no? What happens if you're not a Baruch Yuva? This is the Yisrael. Oh, so Ravina says the following Kiddush. The only time we say that Ein Shliach Devar Avera is, wow, if you're a Bar Chiyuva. If you're not a Bar Chiyuva, then not, then not, then not. Wow, that's the Kiddush. So therefore, in that case, we would say, Yein Shliach Devar Avera. Yein Shliach Devar Avera. Wow, that's something which is stunning. Yein Shliach Devar Avera. What would Yein Shliach Devar Avera mean? What would Yein Shliach Devar Avera mean? You know what? We're going to go ahead and obligate the Mishaleach. No? Yein Shliach Devar Avera? We're going to chastise the Mishaleach. Chastise. Didn't we just discuss this week? What do you mean? What do you mean? In order, Gemalkus, Malkus. You're going to Gemalkus to the Shemaleach. We just discussed this week. No, Rav, Kiddush Baal, Kiddush Baal. Kiddushin is not enough. You need Baal, Baal. So what does it mean to say Yeshleach Adoravim? What does it mean to say Yeshleach Adoravim? What exactly is that social discussion? No? What do you mean to say that in that case, Yeshleach Adoravim? I would normally say Yeshleach Adoravim means the Onish is going to go to the Mishaleach. Onish, Onish, Onish. There's no Onish. All there is Kiddushin. And you need Kidei Shabbat, Kidei Shabbat. So Tosa says 2 days. 1 day, fascinating, but Mitzir Af Yud is Kishabbat, you get 2 sets of Malkus. He just does it early in the year, no? One for Kidesh and one for Baal. One Kidesh alone is nothing. But once you consummate the issues, there's Malkus for Kidesh and Malkus for Baal. Whoa, that's 1 day in Tosus. Wow, wow. Lokesh Dayim. Okay. You know what the other day in Tosus is? This is like eye-opening. Eye-opening. No, 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 no. Let me ask you a simple question. A simple question. Are they married? Are they married? A Yisrael goes ahead and marries his Grusha on behalf of the Kohen. Are they married? Are they married? Are they not married? You're going to say, of course they're married. Of course they're married. Because this is Chavei Lavin. And we just learned there's Tfisas Grusha in the Chavei Lavin, no? We spent a lot of time in that. There's Tfisas Grusha, of course they're married. No, 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 no. This marriage was done Al Yedei Shliach. It was done Al Yedei Shliach. If you hold Yesh Shliach Bedvar Avera, they're married. They're married. And if you hold Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera, they're not married. That's unbelievable, no? We just discussed recently, no? And the Torah says no, it can be one of two things. Neither means it's forbidden, or there's no chalos. When the Chachamim said Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera, what does that mean? Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera. It means that we're not going to punish the Mishaleach because Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera, or does it mean there's no chalos? There's no chalos. So Tosus writes, Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera means there's no shlichus. The Torah doesn't recognize shlichus. If a Kohen marries a Grusha himself, that's Chavei Lavin with Tfisas Kedushin. But if the Kohen marries a Grusha Aydei Shliach, the Torah says, we don't recognize such a shlichus. That's an illicit shlichus. The Torah doesn't allow for such shlichus. And therefore they're not married. Right? That's pretty incredible, no? Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera means bitul shlichus. They're not married. That's one day in Tosfos Mitzvah Yedaf Yom Beis. That's something which is stunning. That's something stunning. You know, the Chazon Ish says we pass him like that. Bein Tosfos. Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera means there's no shlichus. There's no shlichus. That was like a famous comment to the Chazon Ish. You know, Shemitah, whoa, 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 whoa. What do you hold about the Heter Mechir, no? Is it okay to go ahead and to sell off your karka to a guy in order to circumvent the dinim of Shemitah? Let's assume you shouldn't do so. You shouldn't do so. But it's Zareh Levcha, lo sechane. You're not allowed to give the Goyim a stronghold in Eretz Yisrael. So you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. That's what the Chazon Ish maintains. You're not allowed to do that. No, more than that. More than that. You know what it means if you're not allowed to do that? You're not allowed to do that. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to do that. It means even more than that. That's pretty stunning. If a farmer were to sell his property in Eretz Yisrael to a Goy, you know what? That's a question. Should he not? Should he, should not? The farmer, the farmer, the farmer. Farmers don't do this. How is the Mechira sold for Shemitah? It's thrown through the Rabbanut, no? What do you call that? Agency. What do you call that? Shlichus. Oh, the Chazon Ish said Balacha. No, Tosfos says Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera. You know what it means? The Het to Mechira is not Chal. Not that the Het to Mechira should not be done. It's Osir. It's not Chal. It's not Chal. Because Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera. Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera means there's no Shlichus. There's no Shlichus whatsoever. Wow, that's something we've just done it. That's Ravina's Chiddush. You need a Bar Chiyuva in order to assume Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera. Otherwise, then Yesh Shliach Ledvar Avera. So Tosfos immediately writes, even if you're not a Bar Chiyuva, you're Yisro, and this is an Isser of a Koimer and a Grusha, but Tosos does write explicitly, there still is an Isser Leif Neiver. There still is an Isser Leif Neiver, that's Mefurish and Tosos, but Metziah Daf Yom HaBeis. There's still Leif Neiver, because as a result of what you did, a Koimer is married to a Grusha. Assuming that it's Chal, assuming that it's Chal, well, so Tosos says there is Leif Neiver, that's against this Ramban. The Ramban Yivam Ostap Peidal assumes that if you're not a Bar Chiyuva in the Avera, in such a case there's no Leif Neiver. And Tosos is Mefurish, but Metziah Daf Yud, that really is not true, that there is, well, there is Leif Neiver in such a case. Because if the Kohen's violating an Avera, that's called Leif Neiver. The fact that you're Yisrael, why does that matter? That's a fascinating deal. You know what that Machlokas is all about? That Machlokas really is how you view Leif Neiver. If the Ivar means you can't provoke another Jew or even a non-Jew to violate an Avera, you know what? So that's what you're doing. You're provoking them to violate an Avera. If you're going to leave the Ivar means it's an expansion of Shutfus in my Avera. It has a granual nature. You know what? So I could argue, if I'm not Chayiv in that Avera, maybe I'm not Chayiv the Leif Ne'ivar. Leif Ne'ivar of that Avera. That's an important... An important chiddush, that's an important possibility. To what extent is Leif Neiver just Nisr of Simas Michshel? To what extent do you argue it's not true that it's considered to be an expansion of the Avera, at hand? That's a pretty stunning machlokas. You know, that's relevant to what I mentioned just a moment ago. You know that the Rambam writes there's no Malkus on Leif Neiver because it's a Lav Shebecholos. It's like Lo Sochol Adam. Tosus raises an incredible kasha. There's a kasha in the Ramban, and a kasha in Tosus, and just Samakimu. Is that really true? You have one pasuk with multiple references. There's no Malkus. Tosus is bothered. We learned a great length last year. Now it's a few days, and elsewhere. You get Malkus on Yantif. Chil Yantif is Malkus. Why isn't Chil Yantif Lav Shebecholos? The Torah says, don't do malacha. Kom lecha sevad lo sasa. No, Parsha Semur is full of Yisr Malacha. Parsha Semur is pretty incredible. No, a separate Yisr Malacha for each and every Yantif. That's unbelievable. No, it's not just that there's one law. Don't do Malacha on Yantif. There's a separate Yisr Malacha for every Yantif in Parsha Semur. And guess what? There's a separate Yisr Malacha for the first days of Yantif and last days of Yantif. The first days of Pesach, last days of Pesach. First days of Sukkot, last days of Sukkot. You look in the Rambam and say for Mitzvahs. The Rambam has separate Yisurim for every Yantif, and two Yisurim for Sukkot, and two Yisurim for Pesach. You say, where did the Rambam get that from? You know what the answer is? Two words, no? Parshasem. The Torah has a separate lav for every malacha, and a separate lav for every part of malacha. That's something which is pretty stunning. You know, that's fascinating to go through in Chumash. When the Torah describes Yantif, sometimes the Torah is so granular that every yantid is an island unto itself. And sometimes the Torah links all the Yom Tovim together. No? Let's say when it comes to mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego, the Torah says, you know what? Shalosh pam b'shani ra'al kol zechecha. When it comes to mitzvah of Simcha, the Torah says, v'samach t'lechagecha. It's fascinating. When it comes to Simcha, there's one mitzvah with three opportunities, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. When it comes to Aliyah L'Rego, there's one mitzvah, Aliyah L'Rego, with three opportunities, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. When it comes to the essay and los essay of malacha, you know what? That's very granular. That's pretty unbelievable, no? Where do you see that's true? I'll tell you very simply, because in Parshas Emor, when it comes to malacha, everything is specific. When it comes, for example, to Parshas Re'eh, the mitzvah of Simcha and the Re'eh, everything's together. That's pretty fascinating. You know, you look in the Rambam and say for mitzvahs. Malacha, the Rambam counts every yantif and every part of yantif separately. What about when it comes to mitzvah of Simcha? What about Aliyah L'Rego? Take a look. Mitzvah Nun Gimel, Mitzvah Nun Dalet. One mitzvah of Simcha, Shalosh Regalim. One mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego, Shalosh Regalim. Well, that's pretty stunning, no? Where did the Rambam get that from? You know what the answer is? Just look at the Pesukim, no? Emor, everything is so specific. When it comes to Parshas Re'eh, Birchas Mo'adecha, Aliyah L'Rego, Simcha, one. The Rambam writes that in the Sefer Mitzvahs itself. I'll tell you like a stunning ha'ara. You know what? In Tefillas Musaf, you know, when we begin Tefillas Musaf, we start with mentioning every yontif, and we're really very, very specific. We mention every yontif specifically. Every yontif specifically. No? That's where we begin musaf. No? Atabar chartanu. Good, good, good. Okay? The Torah continues, and then it tells you the Seder HaKarbanos, the Seder HaKarbanos. Okay? The Seder HaKarbanos, the Torah tells you very specifically, fill in the carbon for the particular day. No? That's clear. When you get to the next part of Shemoneh Esrei, Vahasiyenu, everything's broad. No? It mentions the broad mitzvah de l'regel, it mentions the Birchas Modecha. Well, and you know what's pretty incredible? That what's the chasima? Mekadesh Yisro v'hazman. Mekadesh Yisro v'hazman. It's fascinating that when you begin the Shemoneh Esrei, you mention every yontif very specifically. When you're chosim, you just write Mekadesh Yisro v'hazman. Unlike on Rosh Hashanah Kippur, Mekadesh V'yom HaZikaro, Yom HaKippurim. Fascinating, the chasima on Rosh Hashanah is specific. The Chassim and Yom Kippur is specific. The Chassim Rosh Hashanah is v'hazman v'hazmanim. You know, I emphasize this because it's hard to imagine this could possibly be right. But this is a chiddush that the Torah's Tumimah suggests, that that's not what Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim means. Everybody, you know, today maybe things are a little bit different, but in the previous generation, you know, everybody used a sitter on Yantiv, and everybody used a machzer on Rosh Yom Kippur. The Torah Tumimah writes this unusual chiddush, hard to imagine, that if you have a dedicated matzah for Rosh Hashanah, it's going to say Yom HaZikaron. If you have a dedicated matzah for Yom Kippur, it's Yom Kippur. But if you're using a siddur for Shal Shogam, it's going to say V'hazman. Fill in the Zman. Fill in the Zman. You should really be saying Mekadesh Yisrael V'chag HaSukkos. Mekadesh V'chag HaMatzos. Like, really? Like, that sounds... The Ha'ar is interesting. Rosloyechik quoted this, he thought, obviously that's not true. Obviously not true. But it is a good kasha. Why is it on Rosh Hashanah the chasim is so specific? Why Yom Kippur is the chasim is so specific? When it comes to Shalosh Ragam, that really is not true. Or one could ask this question, no? Why in the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos is Malacha so specific and Simchani L'Regel is so general? Or why is it in Shemoneh Esrei that you begin very, very specifically in Musaf? And you end Mekadesh Yisrael HaZmanim very broadly, you know what the answer is? Very, very simply, the three portions of Tfilas Musaf is Emor, wow, Pinchas and Re. Emor, Pinchas, Re. That's exactly Emor. The Yisr Malacha is specific to the Yantiv. And Parshas Pinchas, specific Karbanos in Shavu Yantiv. But you end with the Birchas Modecha. That's the Bracha of Hasenu. Birchas Modecha is Parshas Re. And there, the Torah is not specific. The Birchas Modecha and Aliyah Rekin Simcha is the same bracha for all the Yomim Tovim. And we quote Parshas Re'eh right before the Chasima. That's exactly the point. Now, that the Birchas Modecha is Bichlau. And this Shemalacha is Biprat. And that's the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos. Wow. And that's Tfilas Musaf. That, of course, is true when it comes to Shalosh Regalim. Simcha, Birchas Modecha, Aliyah L'Regel. Not true when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that is not part of the Birchas Modecha of Shalosh Regalim, and therefore the Chasim of Rosh Hashanah is specific, Yom Kippur is specific, but the Birchas Modecha of Shalosh Regalim, that's considered to be that which is broad. Wow, that's pretty stunning. No? Wow. When it comes to Malacha, everything's very granular. And within a Yantif, within a Shabbos, wow, you know, there are many Malachos. Oh, so the Ramban is bothered. Why isn't that called Lav Shebecholos? Losoch L'Adam is Lav Shebecholos. Lifnei Iver is Lav Shebecholos. And Malacha and Yantif, you get Malchus Daraisa. That's not Lav Shebecholos. That's something which is pretty heavy, no? That's the Ramban's kasha. Ramban writes an amazing teretz. Tosus does not write this teretz, but the Ramban writes an amazing teretz. So he permits for Shavuot test. In order to be a Lav Shebecholos, it's not that you have one issur with different examples. it, you have different yisurim. Shemus mechlaki, a different shame is, a different shame is. That's mefurish and Rabban. You know what the difference between malach anyantiv as opposed to sochel adam? For sochel adam, all those cases I mentioned are separate yisurim, separate yisurim. When it comes to malach anyantiv, it's one iser, don't do malach anyantiv, with many different examples of yantiv, examples of malach anyantiv. Wow, that's a really heavy Rabban, no? That's the Rabban here. Say from Mr. Shorosh Tess. In order to be lav shebechos, you have to have a different shem isen, shemus mechlokim, not just simply gufen mechlokim, gufen mechlokim. Wow. So that means when it comes to malach on Shabbos and Yantiv, these are different examples of the very same isen. When it comes to osol chol adam, they're different yisurim. They're different. Wow, that's a chiddush. That's Ramban's teretz. Tosus is a different teretz. And of Samagimel. You know what Tosus writes? You know why you don't get malchus and lav shebechos? Tosus says the following. In order to get malchus, you have to have a lav which is mefurish bekra. It has to be dumi delav dechasima. It has to be explicit. The Torah has to lo hishomer penarau. It has to be something which is mefurish. Just like there's no malchus on halacha Moshe Sinai. Torah Shabbat. It has to be mefurish and Torah Shabbat. That's Tosus is chiddush. Let me ask you the following. Oh, maybe that's the difference. When it comes, for example, to malach anyantiv, that's explicit. Do not do malach anyantiv. Kol malach hasavod lo sasu. That's mefurish b'kra. That's mefurish b'kra. That's what Tosus says. Wow. Lo sochel adam. You know what I'm going to tell you? If you didn't know that Gemara in Sanhedrin Samagimel, and I would ask you, what do you think is included in lo sochel adam? You know what? You would get every answer wrong. Well, you'd know the answer to that question. What's included in osol chol adam? You know? You wouldn't get any answer right. You know? I ask you, what's included in osol chol adam? You're using your tummy. Bezen can eat the day they put someone to death. I'm going to tell you, you must have seen the Gemara. No? Yeah, you tell me you never saw the Gemara say, needed a flamen before you were born. You saw that. You did not guess that. No? You did not, like, just guess that osol chol adam is amisas bezden and therefore nisra achila. No? Yeah, that, really? Or it's Nazar ben Solomara, really, that you guessed. That's all Torah Shebal Peh. That's Torah Shebal Peh. That's a Joshua's Chazal. If I were to ask you, what are you allowed to do on Yantiv? You know, you're going to get a lot of those answers right because it's Kemal Mufurish Makra. You can't do Malachas Avoda. No, so that's the Chiddush Tosus writes. You can only get Malchus on something which is specific. And Malach is specific, but Osol Chol Adam is not specific. Ramban writes this Lamdush HaHagdara. When it comes to Osol Chol Adam, they're independent Yisuri. When it comes to Malachi, it's one Yisuri with many different examples. So what's the Yisod of the Ramban? In order to be called Lav Shulachos, you need Shemus Mechlaki, different Yisuri. You know why that's irrelevant here? Because there's no Malchus on Lifnei Lasitei Nechshom, because it's a Lav Shulachos. You know what that seems to indicate? That Lifnei Lasitei Nechshom are different Yisuri, not just simply different examples of a Nechshom. One could have understood in two ways, no? Maybe the Isser is a single Isser. Do not cause someone to stumble. Done. No? Don't place a stumbling block. What's the definition of a stumbling block? I'll tell you there are many examples. There are many examples of a stumbling block. You know what I'll tell you? There are taryag examples of stumbling blocks. No? Causing a person to violate a law or causing a person to fail from mitzvah saseh. No? Those are a lot of obstacles. But there are many examples of obstacles. Or I'm going to tell you real chiddush. Not many examples of obstacles. They're different yisurim. Lifnei Iver of Chilul Shabbos is an Isra of Chilul Shabbos. Lifnei Iver of Nevela is an Isra of Nevela. Depending on the Avera, it has a granule application. That's an important Chiddush, no? That's something which is very important. I would say that's Boshev Shat and that Rambam the Ramban. The Lifnei Iver is considered to be a Lav Shebechalos, because Lifnei Iver takes on the characteristics of the Aver, the very at hand. So maybe it's not so surprising that Ramban Yevamos Daf Pei Daled, where the Ramban writes, if you're not Chayiv in an Avera, you're not Chayiv in the Lifnei Iver of that Avera. Because Lifnei Iver is an expansion of the Aver at hand. That's something which is pretty stunning. And this, I would relate to what we ended off last week in the following. Does Lifni Iver require an Aveir? Does Lifni Iver, very, very simple question. You know what? I go ahead and I do everything possible to cause you to commit an Aveir. I'm not successful. Somehow you're such Shatta Deshmaya. No, you keep on avoiding it. You keep on avoiding it. I give you the treifas and you don't eat. Is that an Isser Lifni Iver? You know, on the one hand, one could argue, well, of course, that's a Simas Mirshon. That's called a simas mechshol. Whether the guy actually stumbles or not does not justify the fact that he did something vile. No? You see, there's a blind person walking, and you place a stumbling block in his presence. You know, okay, forget about whether he trips or not. That's really not appropriate. That's really not appropriate. Or could argue, no. You cannot begin to discuss connecting the dots. You can't discuss attribution. I'm going to attribute this to you. If there's no this, if there's no Aveira, once there's an Aveira, I can take a step back and I can say the following, okay, who is the Gori? Who's at fault? Ghost Aveira, but what about the one who caused it, the Gori? I'll tell you, you know what, it's not even so clear the Lashon HaGemara. The Gemara in Kedushin Aflamed Beis tells a fascinating story. The Gemara says the following, that Rav Huna, the father, wanted to, for whatever reason, test the character of his son Rabba. So you know what happened? Rav Huna went ahead and kara shirai ba'ape Rabba bread. He went ahead and took something, shirai, silks, and he ripped it in the presence of his son. He took something that, you know, the son had a connection to, a kesher to, the son's silk, whatever it was, and he ripped it. Rav Huna wanted to see how he would respond, you know? The Gemara says an unusual question. You know what? Dilma Karasa, how could Rav Huna do that? Because maybe Rabba would have become angry. Maybe imagine a son would have like said something not appropriate to his father. And what's wrong if his son said something inappropriate to his father? Because Rav Huna would buy leaf neither. That's the Gemara says. No. You know, wow, a parent who baits the child, that's the parent's Isser leaf neither. No? The child has to behave, but you know what? If the parent was the Gorim, so how could Rav Huna go ahead and do so? Isn't that Lifnei Iver? I'll tell you, what does the Gemara mean? How could Rav Huna go ahead and test Rabba? Because perhaps Rabba would be angry, and Rav Huna would invite Lifnei. How do you read that Gemara? Doma Karasa. I'll tell you two possibilities. Maybe Doma Karasa means, if and only if Rabba reacted inappropriately, then Rav Huna would have had Lifnei Iver. But you know what the question of the Gemara is? How could he have taken that chance? You know, I'll read the Gemara differently. No? Since there's a possibility that he would act inappropriately, that's a mitzvah. And therefore, regardless of how he would have responded, Rav Huna would violate Lifnei Iver. The Kriya Sashiraim is a simas mitzvah. Because Dilma Karasa, maybe he would trip. And maybe he would trip if there's no possibility of tripping. That's not called a mitzvah. But Dilma Karasa. Wow, there are two ways of reading the Gemara. I can't tell you one's more kosher than another, no? Well, the Gemara says, how could Rav Huna have baited his son Rabba? Because after all, maybe Rabba would have acted appropriately. Does that mean, and therefore by essence, by definition, it's always Lifnei Iver? Or if and only if Rabba would have acted appropriately, then. That's a very heavy issue. In other words, does Lifnei Iver require an Aveir? Does it require that someone stumbled? If Rabbi would have stumbled, you know, I'm going to point a finger at Rav Huna. If he wouldn't have stumbled, okay, but why in the world? You're playing with fire. What are you taking a chance for? You know what the Gemara answers? That Rav Huna, the father, was mochel his son Rabbi. He was mochel his son. So even if the son would have said, you know, how'd you do that? You know, he was mochel his mochel. You know what Tosas says? It's unbelievable. Tosas says, okay. But did Rabba know that his father Rav Huna was mochel? And if Rabba didn't know that he was mochel, that would be a machshava sachet. You know what, how high that bar is? A lifnei iver of machshava sachet. No? That's pretty stunning, no? A lifnei iver of machshava sachet. How dare you? You baited a person to have a machshava sachet. Wow. So you know what Tosa says? It must be that Rav Huna told Rabbi he was mochel. Because if Rav Huna did not tell the son he was mochel him, That would be a lifnei ivra of machshava sefek. A lifnei ivra machshava, that's pretty unbelievable, no? You can't go ahead and cause a person to do something where, even if it's not wrong, but there was a machshava sefek. A machshava sefek. That's a pretty high bar. Shlomo Zalman writes this la'alacha. Mincha Shlomo Siman Lamed Ei. Pretty unusual. Pretty unusual, no? Let's assume, for example, let's say, whatever, a woman is home, and somebody comes to the house, the refrigerator is broken, you know, so the serviceman comes to the house, the Jewish serviceman, you know what? The woman knows there's no yichud shayim, because what do you mean, that the husband is in another room, the husband's right there. Yeah, but that doesn't excuse the repairman, no? The repairman's just going to enter the house. Enter the house. How can he enter the house? He has to make sure, you know what, you're closing the door, you're opening the door. Is there a yichud bar? That's his achrayus. He doesn't care so much about it. He doesn't care so much about that. For whatever reason. Whatever, you know? Yeah, but Shlomo Zalman writes, but it's her isser lifnei. It's her isser lifnei. She's opening the door, letting him in, and he's walking in. Shlomo Zalman writes, but she knows it's not yichud. She knows her husband's in the next room. You know what Shlomo Zalman writes? Tosus Kedush Laman Deis. It's a lifnei ivra of machshava sachev. A machshava. Good, it wasn't the nisr of yichud. But if he was unaware, that there's no problem of yichud. So that's wrong on his part. So that's a lifnei ivra of machshava sachev, even if there wasn't a chet whatsoever. Wow, that's pretty heavy, no? Or Shlomo Zalman writes, I'll give you another example. Let's say a person has a resh and everything is fine and good and good. Everything's the highest hashkacha. But you know what? There's no tuda there that says this is kosher. And a Jew walks in and eats there. He should not do that. You know? If he knows, he knows. Okay. He just walks in. A choser zahirus. Without checking everything. You know what Shlomo Zalman writes? That's an iser lifnei iver on the proprietor of machshava sachet. Everything was kosher. No one violated nisr of eating tarfus. No, but nonetheless, that you set up a situation causing someone to achoser zahirus, amachshav asachay. That's a pretty fascinating hiddush. No, but it's interesting. Does lifnei iver require any type of avera? Does it require any type of avera whatsoever? That's a very, very heavy heavy deal. We had mentioned that, the case in the Gemara, Vodazara Davav, that a person goes in and he tosses, right, the yayin to the Nazir. Is there any requirement that the Nazir has to drink the wine in order to go ahead and to call that an Isra of Lifnei Iver? That's a huge machlokes. The Chazon Ish assumes the halacha that you need an Aveira. Without an Aveira, how can you speak Lifnei Iver? That's a Chazon Ish in Sinas Samafes. Right? And Chaimosa writes in Chelek Gimelson that yes, it's Simas Nechshon. Regardless, you're baiting the Nazir. That's wrong. Regardless of whether he stumbles. It's an interesting Kiddush. I'll tell you an amazing Rabbi Kivega with Ifneiver. This could have a ripple effect in so many areas of halacha that you have to kind of just be careful. Be careful how you apply it. But Rabbi Kivega writes the following. That's something we discussed with Mitzida Fyud. A man is not allowed to remove the Peyas HaRosh or the Peyas HaZakon, right? Okay? A man is not allowed to have his Peyas cut. And this is from Makif, it's from Nika. Mashke is Nishas. No? Okay. What about a woman? No. A woman, what, she's not allowed to have her pay is cut. That's. And a chiddush. Since a woman is not included in Baltakif Maltashchis, Mishnah Chates, so therefore, she would not violate the Issa Darais of Makif if she's Makif Esagadol. If a woman were to go ahead and take this razor and shave the payas of the man, she's not violating an Issa of Makif. She's not included in Hakafa, because a man is included in the pasuk of Lo Sakifu. A woman is not included. If she's not included in Lo Sakifu, she's not included. She's not included in Mashchis, she's not included in Nishchas. She's not included in Makiv, she's not included in Nikah. Wow, so that's the Shulchan Aruch, and you're there, Kulpei Aleph. That if a woman goes out and does so, guess what? She doesn't get Malkus for this sort of Makiv. Okay? But immediately. No, is that Mutter? No, it's not Mutter. Because as a result of her cutting the payas, you know what she just caused? She caused the man to violate this sort of Nikah, no? Nikah. A man can't have his payas cut. A man can't have his payas cut, ayyidei akum. A man can't have his payas cut, ayyidei isha. So if a woman were to go ahead and to cut the man's payas, so it's true, she doesn't violate this sort of makif, but she violates neiver against the Rambam. No, like the Tosos. Wow. So she's not going to get malchus, but there is a neiver. So you know what? Let's assume the following. You know, imagine this woman is a nurse. And she's in a hospital, you know, and part of her job description is to shave the patient. So if she's going to shave this Jewish patient inappropriately, that's lifnei iver, no? Because the patient now is buying this sort of nikav, of nishchas, no? Oh, that's good. Okay, wow. Okay. What about the following? This is Rabbi Kiveger. This is really heavy. You know, imagine you have this nurse who's a caregiver. She's in the hospital. And her job description is to take care of the patient, shave the patient, whatever. So she tells the patient, you know, like this Jewish man, I can't do that. You know, why can't you do that? Oh, because that's lifnei iver of nishchas, lifnei iver of nikah. I can't do that. Okay. The man's very understanding. And I'm not going to get you in trouble. I'm not going to tell him you didn't do your job. You know, no problem. I'll do it myself. Rabbi Kiveger, kupela. You can do it yourself. If a man cuts his own payas rosh and payas hazakan, guess what? Makas tafkav. Those are two isurim. That's nisra makif and nisra mika. Makif nika. If the woman will do it, what's the sum game? He's only violating nisra mika. He's only violating nisra mika. If he does it himself, he violates two isurim. If you do it, you're going to cause him to violate one. That's lifnei iver. That's a mikshol. A guy is going to violate two isurim, and I see to it that he violates one isurim. What? Maybe that's a mitzvah rabba. That's a mikshol. If the guy's not going to violate an aver, and I cause him to violate an aver, that's lifnei iver. But what do you mean? My sum game? No, I, as a result of what I did, I saved him from violating additional isurim. So, Rabbi Kiveger, you cannot call that leaf neiver. You can't call it leaf neiver. That's pretty unbelievable. That's something which is which is stunning. No, it's a stunning. In other words, when you're dealing with leaf neiver, tzad A, tzad B, you have to ask yourself, what would happen in tzad A? What would happen? Nothing squeaky clean. You know, there's an aveira here, there's an aveira here. Yeah, but if, as a result of what you're doing, there are fewer averos, can you really say that's called A mikshol. That's very, very heavy. That's very, very heavy. No? I have to be very careful how you apply it, how you apply that. That's a tshuva Rosh Shlomo Zalman has, Mikha Shlomo, Simon Amadei. That's like, how do you apply that? I'm not saying right, I'm saying wrong. You know what? There used to be like, say, you know, certain organizations, whatever, Kirov organizations. No, you know, they would, you know, invite this couple for Shabbos. Now, maybe you'll have a hashba. They're going to be driving. They're going to be driving. No, they're driving. You know, like, but my invitation is causing. Is there any legitimacy to the following argument? That's true, but they're going to be mechal Shabbos all day long. Maybe if as a result of my invitation, you know what? True, they'll be mechal Shabbos. Let's say be mechal Shabbos. Yes. Because the rest of the day in the house, they're going to kind of behave themselves, no? If on the scale of things, you know, you have a lot of averos here and fewer averos here, can you honestly say that's called a mikshel? One has to be very careful. Is that a legitimate application or not? The yisod of Ikvega writes in principle could be true. That if at the end of the day, what you're doing minimizes the avera, how can you call that a mikshel? Rosh Shlomo Zalman's case in the Tshuvas and Siman Lamed Hey is pretty fascinating. That's a case of, you know what, offering food to, let's say, someone who's not from, who won't make a bracha. Won't make a bracha. That's where Shlomo Zalman is, you know? So look, if you can encourage them to make a bracha, of course, encourage them to make a bracha. No. And if they're going to make a bracha, that's gevaldik. Let's assume, for example, you're going to say this. You're going to say this. You know what? You're in my home. You're okay. I would love to, you know, feed you something. I see you're hungry, but you know what? I'm afraid you're not going to make a bracha. Even if you make a bracha, you know, you're probably not going to have a right kavana. Even if you have a kavana, maybe, you know, you don't really believe. Maybe the bracha is not, you know, so I'm not going to feed you anything at all. And I'm not going to feed someone who's not going to make a... So Shlomo Zalman writes, one of the things you have to consider in that cheshbon of providing food for someone to make a bracha is, what is the effect of that going to be? Let's assume the effect that's going to be, the person's going to walk away like, whoa, this is crazy, you know, like this is, you know, such rishus, like such, you know, such animosity. The religion is, you know, I'm thirsty, I couldn't even get a drink of water because he was concerned that I wouldn't make it. Shlomo Zalman writes the following, if sometimes the repercussion is worse, so you can't call that a mikshu. You can't call it a simas mikshu. It's a fascinating, you know, we have to be careful when you provide, you know, like, a, you know, when you provide that true. And Shlomo Zalman cites, in one of the editions, the Menachem Shlomi cites this Rabbi Kevegan, and Kufei Aleph, and Kufei Aleph. That's like a very heavy, heavy deal. Now, though, what exactly is labeled as a mikshu? What is not considered to be labeled as a mikshu? You know what? Even if I'll make a bracha, you know what? He probably didn't daven Shachris. No? And, just mentioned the Rambam. No? It's an Isser lo sochel adam, eating before Shachris, eating before davening. No? I'll get him to make a bracha. No. You want a glass of water? Daven first. Right? And then make a bracha. Now think about it. You know, like, it's unusual. No? You know, it's Monday. You know, I call this non-from Jew. You called a non-from Jew. He probably didn't make Havdalah. No? He didn't make Havdalah. You know what? Isn't there an Isser Malacha? So, you know, only call a Jew on a Wednesday and a Thursday when the Zman Havdalah comes to an end. But don't call any, you know, what are the Gedolei Hadayanim of Yosef Kohn? Is, you know, Haris Lemikrei Kodesh, Tipei Sefrenk, Yosef Kohn was a major Dayan Yerushalayim. See, he always, when he's walking on Motzei Shabbos, he also, you always say the bus driver, Shavua Tov, that they should answer Shavua Tov, because Rabbi Kvega writes, that's a kim of Havdalah. Not to acknowledge that the week has begun and Shabbos is over. Okay, here they're doing Malacha, let's get him at least to do something just to acknowledge that, you know, like an interesting issue, like to what extent that these apply. That's an amazing Rabbi Kvega. That if the end of your efforts, that you know what, that you're making it better for the person, I'm making it worse for the person, or acting a certain way is going to just result in absolute hatred and animosity, can you really call avoiding that a mikshu? Can you really call avoiding that a mikshu? So that's like his chiddush that Rabbi Kevega writes, that you know what, it would be the proper thing for a woman to shave the man's payas if plan B is the man's going to shave his own payas. Because shaving your own payas, that's a sugya, makas davchav, you get two sets of alkas. No? Makif is atzma. As unusual, no? As opposed to here, where one aver, yes, but you're saving him from that aver. That's like a pretty stunning application. Just to review what we mentioned at great length, Yevamos and Daf Hey, you know, you look at the beginning of Parshas Emor, it's an important Musar Haska. The Torah speaks about the Kedusha of the Kohen. No? A Kohen is a Tosefes Kedusha. What exactly does it mean, a Kohen is a Tosefes Kedusha? Oh, the Nefesh Lo Yitmad Moav. You're Kadosh. You should not be Matami Lames. Okay, that's good. You read on, very unusual. You know what? Ooh. You know what? You're a Kohen. Lo Yikr Kakarcha Barosha. You're a Kohen. Ufas Sekonam Lo Yigalei. That's really unusual, no? You're a Kohen. What do you mean? So don't you dare go ahead and cause gashes in your body as a result of avedus, right? You're a Kohen. Don't go ahead and engage in giluach. That's really unusual. That's a mitzvah which is coming by the Kohen. That's a mitzvah that applies to a Levi, a mitzvah that applies to Yisrael. Why is that true? You look in the Shabbos of Haftorah? No? Yechezkel? No? Memdalit? You're a Kohen? Kol nevelu trefa? Lo yochel ha-Kohenim. Don't you dare eat machalos asuros. You're a Kohen, don't eat machalos asuros. You're a Kohen. What do you mean? So, You want to demonstrate the Kedushas HaKohen? I understand very well. You're a Kohen. You have Oda. You're a Kohen. You have a time of the maze. You're a Kohen. Don't engage in Giluach. You're a Kohen. Be careful what you eat. Isn't that obvious? So we saw Yevamastafe, just unbelievable, unbelievable. No? If Yisrael engages in Giluach, it's an Yisrael Av. If a Kohen engages in Giluach, not only is it a law, but it's an essay. Kedoshim elokeim. Kedoshim elokeim. That's what it's just stunning. In fact, that's the Gemara that we saw. That you know what? If for Tara Samitsora, you engage in Giluach, maybe that should be a raya that essay do chalosa save essay. Because a Kohen engaging in Giluach is a lot than an essay. And the mitzvah of Tara Samitsora is Dolcha. That's you almost have Haman Aleph. No? That's stunning. No, that you know what that shows you? That shows you, pretty incredible, that a Kohen has a Tosefes Kedusha. How do you know a Kohen has a Tosefes Kedusha? I'll bring you a great rhyme. Because a Kohen has mitzvos that a non-Kohen doesn't have. L'nefesh le'yitzvamav. You're right, you convinced me. But I'll tell you an important yourself. Once that's true, that you see a Kohen has a Tosefes Kedusha, you know what? That Kedusha expands. That Kedusha diffuses. The Kedushas Kohen is not only relevant in those areas that are unique to the Kohen, but if you're a Baal Madrega, it raises the bar for everything, for everything. If a Kohen eats Nevel and Trefa, that is an Avera Chamura, as opposed to Yisrael who eats Nevel and Trefa. If a Kohen engages in Giluach, you know what, that's an Avera Chamura, that's a lav in an essay. Even for Yisrael, it's only considered to be a lav. That's Lefuri, Shibam Estaf A. That's something which is unusual. That's something I'll give you like a mashal medavar d'ama. Just simply, this is your phrase of the Gemara. The Kedushin HaZayin says the following: a person says to a woman, "Chetziach mukadeshesli," half of you is married to me. You know what the Gemara says? Half is married. If half is married, you know what the phrase of the Gemara is? The nifshit to love kedusha b'kula. You know what's going to happen to that kedusha? It's going to spread. It's going to morph. It's going to you know. That's the nature of kedusha. Not kedusha expands. Kedusha expands, which means, if a person is a Kohen, the bar is raised. And that Kedushas HaKohen has to express itself even when it comes to the shared Isurim, even when it comes to the shared mitzvahs. Now, the higher you are, the greater the Madrega, you know what it means? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be more medaktik, even when it comes to shared Averis as well. That's an important yesod. You know, if I'm going to ask you, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect of me? You know what the answer is? There's a different expectation for different people. That's what the Nitziv writes at length. The Meshiv Davar, take a look in Vram Yud. No? Ma Hashem Elkech al Shomimach. No? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu desire you? Kiim Le'ira, Leches Vol Duracha, Vavoso. You know what the Gemara says? Bracha Salam Gimel. That's a Milsa Zutrasa. That's like, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect of me? You know what the answer is? Not much, but Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem and Dveikus, no? B'chalavachal, Mavshecha. The Gemara says, V'chi Motu Zutrasehi. That's a low bar. Look, you know what the Gemara answers? Incredible. L'gabi Moshe, Milsa Zutrasehi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sig Moshe Rabbeinu. For Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what? Yeah, that was a fair expectation. Maybe for the rest of us, that would be a huge ask. You know what the right that means? That means there's a scale, there's a slide. Kadosh Baruch Hu has different expectations of different people. No? And therefore, a person kind of has to always be careful. A person should not be miyaisha. There's no way I'm going to be able to do everything. You know what? You know what the answer is? Kadosh Baruch Hu knows. And Kadosh Baruch Hu's expectation of A is not always the same as B. You know, when the Ram describes Kiddush Hashem, Chil Hashem, Perakei Bachis Yisari HaTorah, you know how the Ram presents it? A sliding scale. The Ram writes, if you're this, you know what? It'll be a Chil Hashem if you do the slightest thing, you know? And if you're on a lower Madrega, maybe that would not be, you know? The Ram writes, there are certain cases of Chil Hashem that are objective, and there are certain cases of Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem are the Fi Madrega Asa, because if you are Kadosh and Abba Madrega, you know what? The bar is raised, and that applies even to shared mitzvos and to shared yisurim as well. That's something which is pretty heavy, no? That's true when it comes to expectations of Bnei Torah, Bnei Yeshiva, no? You're Zochet too. Well, you think that the fact that you're Zochet to sit and learn is only relevant to Isek Batorah? You know what it means? It transforms, the bar is raised, and expectation is different when it comes to everything. And you have to be so careful about that. That's the pigam of lo me ve'enom iskayim. Lo me ve'enom iskayim. A person who knows, but somehow there's a disconnect. It doesn't elevate. It doesn't elevate the person. Because the expectation is considered to be that which is greater. I mentioned last year, Masech was based. That is also based. Now, the Gemara describes Rabbi Ezer gave shir all day. And as he's giving shir, the group slipped out. The group slipped out, you know? Some guys, you know. Before we got to Aleinu, we mean, they're out, you know? And some guy, okay, they waited till after Aleinu, then they kind of sneak out. And some okay, Aktilim, okay. And then Sicha, forget, like, you know, like a sliding scale. No, that's the Gemara basis. I don't feel bad. Happened to Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so, you know what? The guys are sneaking out. One thing the Stipler writes is clear, you know? That Rabbi Eliezer was more aggravated by the Talmidim that stayed the longest. That's an important hour. Now, those who left before Rabbi Eliezer started, okay, you know what? Those who stayed but left prematurely, it was from those Talmidim that Rabbi Eliezer expected the most. The bar was raised, you know? And all of a sudden they stayed for most of the Ramakamos, but you know, they weren't there for the climax of the shoe. They put them all together, you know, that like, whoa, you know, like, whoa. So, you know what? So that's the Musar Haskam. Now, I would say all of that is clear from the beginning of Parshas Zan. Now, that you're a Kohen, you have a Tosefes Kedusha. The Raya that you have a Tosefes Kedusha is Lenefesh Leitmanav. Once you accept that Raya, you know what? Be careful about this Sirkarcha, be careful Kasakanam, be careful about Nevel and Trefa. You say, what does that have to do with Kedushas Kohen? You know, the answer is everything. Because, you know, when you have the Sus of Kedusha, you know what? The bar is raised. Vinish to the Kedusha. That's a shame for God.